Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant in Lem, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. By Bhagwan's grace, we are now in the third segment of Chapter 10 of Sandeha Nivarini. In the previous two episodes, since we started Chapter 10, there have been many concepts that Bhagwan has been explaining to us. In the previous session, Bhagwan told us what is Chittakasha, what is Chidakasha. Yes, these terms are a bit complex for those who are new to spirituality and India's ancient knowledge. But Bhagwan very simply told us Chidakasha is nothing but the Atma, and the reflection of the Atma is what is Chittam. And it is this reflection of the Atma that becomes the mind, manas, buddhi, ahamkara, that becomes our internal organs. And Bhagwan said, when the Atma has as its reflection the internal organs, the Atma with the internal organs becomes the individual soul, the Jiva. And Bhagwan says, all of this is because of the mind. When you see everything as nothing but the Atma, that can happen only when we are able to see through the delusion that is created by the mind. And Swami says the manas alone is the reason for one's bondage and liberation. And when the devotee asks, okay, how can this delusion disappear? That's when Bhagwan says, when you have a headache, then you apply an ointment. Similarly, for the delusion to disappear, for us to always feel that we are the Atma, for us to feel and know the unity principle, for us to always connect with the source and not get deluded by the reflections of the source, Bhagwan said, that is the reason why we do this japam, the dhyanam, the puja, the pranayama. All of this is towards that direction, so that we reach that ripe stage. And in the path of inquiry, we realize that everything is Atman. And that's when the Bhakta asks Swami again, but Swami, you mentioned that japam, dhyanam, bhajana, all these sadhanas have to be done so that we can become ripe and we can climb this path of inquiry. There are some people who undertake the vow of silence. They keep maunam. What exactly is this maunam and what use is it? This is what the devotee asks as we begin this third segment, segment 10.3 of the 10th chapter of Sandeha Nivarini. So let's listen to what Bhagwan says in response to the question of this devotee. And the other beautiful revelations that Bhagwan makes in this segment, all of this slowly leading on to the question that was asked in the previous first segment of chapter 10, Bhagwan comes back to the concept of mukti. From maunam, he takes us to mukti. So let's listen to what Bhagwan has given us in segment 10.3 of Sandeha Nivarini.
But Swami, you mentioned only japam, dhyanam, bhajana, etc. Some advanced persons adopt maunam, the vow of silence. Of what use is it? What exactly is maunam?
The illumination of the soul is Maunam. How can there be Maunam without the Atma being illuminated? Without that, merely keeping the mouth shut is not silence. Some adopt the vow of silence, but communicate writing on paper or slate, or the eye points successively to the letters of the alphabet on a chart. All this is behavioral silence. It is only another way of talking without interruption. There is no need to attain silence. Silence is ever with you. What you have to do is only to remove all things that disturb it.
But many persons do not open their mouth to speak. You mean that this is useless?
Who said so? If you do not use the tongue, if you are silent in order to keep out the external obstacles to sadhana, you certainly can develop your thoughts. You can desist from disturbing others. You can escape criticism and worry from others. You will get concentration. Your brain will be saved from unnecessary burden. And it can improve in many ways. With such a brain, you carry on smarana of the Lord's name better. All these advantages you will realize when you do this sadhana.
Then, is all this unnecessary for the complete jnani?
There is no complete jnani in the world. He is in no need of the world itself. Then why does he need all this?
If that is so, who are those people called jnanis?
The silent men I spoke about just now. Jnani is a term applied by courtesy. A full jnani is non-existent in the world. The jnani must know all as one. Your jnanis are all either experts in logic or experts in the knowledge of the world. They have not known the reality.
Who are the real jnanis?
He who knows the Atma as Atma will know himself as milk added to milk, oil to oil, or water to water. When the physical body dies, they likewise merge in the Atma. But some may have some traits still persisting. They continue to have some resolutions and desires. Until these are exhausted as per their will, they will wander in the world. Such men are called also bits of divinity born as men. Daivamsha Sambhutas. This is also as per the Lord's will.
Why should this difference arise, Swami?
It arises out of each one's sadhana and sankalpa. Eat a mango and you will belch its smell. How can you prevent it? The belch brings the perfume of the thing eaten.
Will such men too need a body as a upadhi?
Without upadhis, how can work get on? They too have it, but only in a subtle form. Until they attain transcorporeal mukti or videha mukti.
What is that, Swami?
Their acts are like the line drawn on water, seen while the line is being drawn, absent as soon as it is finished. While being done, you notice it. In an instant, it is not noticeable anymore.
Swami, you said that a jnani has renunciation as his hallmark. How does this agree with that?
That is true. Renunciation is his hallmark. If out of the traits of previous birth, he gets attached, he must know that it is only for the body and not for him. This attachment damages the bliss of Jivan Mukti. Jnana is most important for Videha Mukti.
Even if one has no jnana, can one attain mukti by mere vairagyam?
What a foolish question. How can the fruit be sweet without ripening? Vairagyam cannot arise except from jnana. There is no moksha without vairagyam. Be sure of that.
So that is what Bhagwan has written in chapter 10 of Sandeha Nivarini. So in this segment, Bhagavan shares what is Maunam. What exactly is this silence that is talked about as Maunam? A very beautiful statement that Swami makes, the illumination of the soul is Maunam. And merely keeping the mouth shut is not silence, as it is generally understood. There are many people who say, I want to keep Maunam. I remember in our school days, there were some students who would want to keep Maunam, be quiet as a sadhana. And many teachers also would encourage the students to undertake this practice. In fact, I'm reminded of a boy by name Ashwin. He joined Swami's Ooty school before the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School opened in Prashantinilayam. Swami had his little school in Ooty, in Tamil Nadu, in Ootakamund. And eventually, Swami had all the students shifted from the school in Ooty to the school in Prashantinilayam. And for all these children, the school ambience in Prashantinilayam was very different from the ambience that was there in Ooty. And as the children grew older, in different ways, they were expressing their energy. And as school students, you had many opportunities to get close to Bhagavan, to express your love to Bhagavan. Swami would love to interact with the little children. And the school ambience also is such that you constantly keep thinking, what can I do to make Swami happy? Because the whole environment in and around you is so sigh-suffused. The teachers who are so dedicated, even the worker, everyone who is there in the hostel, their focus is so only on Swami and how to make Swami happy. And there was this boy, Ashwin. He also kept thinking, what can I do to make Swami happy? And once when Bhagavan had called this boy had asked Swami, Swami, I want to make you happy. I want to know what I should do so that you will be happy. And at that time, Bhagavan was giving these two instructions to all the students. Swami would say, less talk, talk less. And then he would say, less contact, don't have too many contacts. And so when Bhagavan told these two things to this boy walked out of the interview room with a zipper on his mouth. For him, nothing mattered more than just following Swami's directions. If this is what makes Swami happy, if this is what will give me the love of Bhagavan, if this is what will make me near and dear to Swami, then I will do this. And very sincerely, he started practicing silence. It was a Herculean effort for him because he was known to be a very chatty student. But since Bhagavan said, talk less and have less contacts, he just did not say a word to anyone after he came back to the school from the interview room. And it's continued for a few days. What few days? He extended it to a few weeks. And He thought I should focus all my energies, all my efforts on thinking about Swami, on how to make Swami happy. So yes, he would spend some of his quieter moments chanting Bhagwan's name. And he would also study because he knows that Bhagwan always wanted the students to excel in academics. If any time Bhagwan asked you, what grade have you got? We should be able to say that, Swami, I've got an O grade. And I've got this O grade for you, Swami. That is all it mattered to a student. If Swami asks, I should be able to say, Swami, I got O grade for you. O grade is the highest grade, outstanding grade. So he did this for a few weeks, about 2 months. And after that, Swami calls him one day. And the moment Swami looks at Ashwin, Swami says, "Hey boy, too much talk." And imagine what will be Ashwin's reaction, because for weeks, days and weeks, he has not spoken. He sat there having locked his mouth. And here Bhagwan says, too much talk. And he had done everything to make Swami happy. And Swami does not seem to be pleased enough. And the boy was so puzzled. So Swami called the boy near. And Swami pointed to his lips. Bhagwan pointed to his own lips. And Swami said, "Not from here." And then Swami pointed to the head, to his own head. And Swami said, "From here. Your too much talk is not from here," meaning not from the lips, but it is from the mind. To a 9th standard boy, Bhagwan was guiding and teaching what is Maunam. As you read here, Bhagwan says, there are some people who adopt the vow of silence, but they keep communicating, writing on paper or slate, and their eye points successively to the letters of the alphabet on a chart. So somehow or the other, they continue to communicate. And Swami says, that is only behavioral silence. That is not true silence. It is just another way of talking. It's just that you're not using words. That's all. And this boy who got this lesson directly from the Sadguru had learnt what it is to be in a state of Maunam. We cannot loosely use the word Maunam. We cannot say that I have kept Maunam just because you have not spoken. And imagine the impact that it had on this boy. He learned what it is to become quiet. He knew that his mind was the noisiest mind in the universe, even though there were no words coming. And he had learned how he had to start this sadhana all over again. He had learned where his focus should be. Focus should be not just not to utter. The focus should be how within there is as much silence as there is without. And he says, getting this direction from Bhagwan at that impressionable age, it meant so much, and it only spurred you into your sadhana in a way that only God can do. Bhagwan telescopes our spiritual journey, what would have happened in 10 janmas, in 10 births, in 10 minutes. And that is the power of the avatar. That is the power of direct instruction, guidance. and the students in that era were fortunate to be blessed in this manner. Bhagwan used to always talk about the ancients of Bharatiya culture, how the ancients practiced economy in speech. Swami says today students talk a lot and excessive speech harms the mind. Our ancients practiced three kinds of silence, Bhagwan says. The first was called Vakmaunam, or silence of the tongue. In the silence of the tongue, where there is silence in speech, here it meant that you confine your speech to limits and needs of the occasion, not much, not mindless talking. So through this discipline, excessive talk was avoided. So the power of speech was conserved and it was enhanced. And since you spoke less, it also resulted in you speaking less lies. You are generally more truthful. And speaking truth is the way to purify our thoughts. And that helped. That helped in your sadhana. Because purity of speech is very, very vital. And it can be achieved only by restraint in speech. So this is the first, Vakmaunam. Swami said the second level is Manomaunam, silence of the mind. The mind is a bundle of thoughts and fancies and they have to be reduced gradually. Only when the thoughts are reduced, the mind naturally comes under control. It's like a clock that is unwound. When the activities of the mind is reduced, that is when the power of the Atma manifests. Atma will manifest only when there is quietness within. And when the power of Atma manifests, that is when Buddhi becomes more active than the senses. When the thoughts are there, senses are very active. But when the mind is come under control with less thoughts, then the power of the Atma expresses itself more. You have Buddhi, which becomes more active than the senses. And that is the stage of Manomaunam. Once you have Vakmaunam and Manomaunam, control of speech and control of the mind, then you reach the stage, Swami says, what is called Mahamaunam or supreme silence. And Swami used to tell the students that you have to undergo this discipline of Manomaunam and Vakmaunam. And the way to do it is to talk less, study more. Swami used to say, what is study? Education is a process of divinizing oneself. Education is not collecting information. Study, study to be steady, Swami used to say. The study that is needed is that which will help to divinize your inner self. Bhagwan, during the discourse in Sai Kulwant Hall on 6th of October 1997, mentioned how the Indian sages practiced silence as a spiritual discipline because they realized the myriad benefits that are derived from Maunam. They experience the kind of fantastic results one can experience, one can gather, one can harness if you practice silence. Swami gave the example of Swami Vivekananda. Vivekananda did an experiment and he saw that after 10 days of endless talking, he had forgotten all the slokas that he had learned by heart. Because he talked continuously, his memory power dwindled. And then he kept silence for a fortnight. Swami says when he kept silence for 15 days, he got back his memory powers. This is the benefit of keeping our speech and our thoughts quiet. We cannot secure the grace of God without the sacred use of the senses. And that is what Swami is telling. If you are just not speaking but continuing to communicate, then that is only behavioral silence. It's just another way of talking without interruption. And Swami says, silence is ever with you. What you have to do is only remove all the things that disturb it. When the Bhakta asks Swami, so many people do not open their mouth to speak, so you mean to say that is all useless if they are not able to keep their mind calm, if they're only just not speaking, is that all useless? Swami says, no. Did I say that this is useless? Well, if you don't use the tongue, if you are silent in order to keep out the external obstacles to sadhana, Swami says, yes, that will definitely help. It will help to develop your thoughts. Some of the simple benefits are you will hurt less people. You will disturb less people. You will escape criticism. You will have less worries. You will have more concentration. Your brain will be saved. The brain will have less burden. There are so many ways you will improve yourself, just like Swami Vivekananda showed how your memory power will increase. Swami says, if you have a brain that is relatively quiet, you can actually focus on God better. And once you are in that sadhana of smarana, then you'll have so many more benefits. In fact, Bhagwan started our Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in 1981. It became a deemed university. Before that, Bhagwan used to spend a good amount of the year, good part of the year, almost 9 months in Vrindavan, the ashram in Bengaluru. Many students longed to get admission to Swami's college because of that precious opportunity to live in his physical presence. And there's one student from northeast of India who was very keen to become a student, and he made all efforts to please Bhagwan. He thought, I have to somehow get this chance and I will do whatever it takes to become a Sai student. So even before he came for the entrance, he gave up non-vegetarian food. He got into this habit of waking up early in the morning, and he stopped hanging out with his friends. He made his life as Spartan and Sattvic as possible because the only intention was, I have to become a student. And by Bhagwan's grace, he did become a student. He got admission into Bhagwan's college. And when he entered the portals of the Vrindavan campus, he did not find the schedule of the hostel really rigorous. Because he came from a farmer's family, he was already used to getting up early in the morning, doing his own thing. So it was for him as normal as fish taking to the water. So he took upon the responsibility to ring the bell for Suprabhatam in the morning. In the hostel, all the duties are done by the students. So he was the one who took up the responsibility to ensure that Suprabhatam is conducted every morning, and he was the one to wake up others by ringing the bell. In fact, there were many students who would leave chits around his bed to wake them up at different timings in the morning, because they know that this boy will get up very early. In fact, he had converted his cupboard into an altar, and every day he would do puja with flowers and incense and all that early in the morning. So this is how his dream of becoming a Sai student materialized, and he was living his life of a Sai student with great joy, following the hostel discipline and relishing every moment of being student of Bhagwan. 6 months passed in this manner, and one day Bhagwan called him, and Swami said, "How is hostel life? How are you?" And this boy in all enthusiasm said, "Swami, I am fine, Swami. I have become very spiritual, Swami." And Swami said, "Oh, you become spiritual. So what do you do in the hostel?" And Swami, this boy very excitedly said, "Swami, I wake up early in the morning, Swami. I am very early. And I ring the bell, Suprabhatam bell, to wake up all the other boys." And said, "Oh, wow, you do this every day?" Swami asked. And the boy said, "Yes, Swami. I participate in the Suprabhatam every day wholeheartedly, Swami." "What about Nagar Sankirtan?" Swami asked. "Swami, I participate in Nagar Sankirtan also without fail. I go out and sing the bhajans on the streets along with all of us." In those days, the students used to do it on every Thursdays, and Sundays they would go out of the Vrindavan Ashram and sing Swami's bhajans in the streets of Bengaluru. Of course, Vrindavan at that point in time was outskirts of Bangalore. And the students in that village, the Kadugudi village, they would do Nagar Sankirtan. So Swami looked at this boy very keenly as he was very enthusiastically answering all the questions. And then came the question of Bhagwan. Swami asked, "How much do you talk?" And this boy was actually very talkative. And he said, "Swami, I have curtailed it quite a bit, Swami. I talk very less now." And Swami immediately said, "What is the use? What is the use? Meter is always on, only volume is down," Swami said. "Meter is always on, only volume is down," which means there is continuously chatter. It is going on in your mind. Meter is on. Only thing is, you're not speaking much. Volume is less, that's all. And the boy did not know what to say. He was indeed a very talkative boy. And what can you hide from the divine master? The boy was a bit crestfallen. Until then, he was answering everything with a lot of enthusiasm. He had thought he had grown spiritually. Just to make him comfortable, Swami said, "Okay, so what about lunch and dinner? Are you always on time for lunch and dinner also?" He said, "Swami, yes, Swami, I'm always on time." Now the boy's vigor returned. He said, "I'm always on time, Swami. What about night milk and night prayer?" He said, "Swami, I take the night milk every day, Swami. I do the night prayer also very diligently." Now he was a picture of confidence. He was back to presenting the impressive report card of his progress as a Sai student. And now he was hoping Bhagwan would definitely give a pat on his back. Because Swami would reward the boys for little things, little acts of discipline, little acts of dedication. Sing one bhajan, do one little seva. Swami would always reward, and his tokens of grace would be fantastic things. He would materialize a ring, a chain, a pendant. He would give a padnamaskar. He would create vibhuti. You know, he can do anything. And he would do this for little things to encourage the students and to give them mementos and tokens of his love. And now that day, having presented such an impressive progress of him as a student, he was just waiting for Bhagwan to reward him. And as a student, you know, you expect that from Bhagwan. And he was watching keenly Swami's eyes. And Swami looked at him and Swami said, "Boy, now you have become a human being. Keep it up." And Swami walked away. "Now you have become a human being. All this that you do, this is basic for you to even called a human being. All of this you have to do. Don't expect to get a reward for this, because this is a basic you have to do for just being blessed with the birth of a human." But the boy says, even though a as a teenager, he was disappointed then. Swami didn't give him any reward. But that lesson has stayed. 40 years later, when he recalls this incident, he says, even today I wake up early in the morning and I lead a life much in sync with how it used to be in the hostel. But that interaction with Swami has kept me going to be a human being and to know that Maunam is not when you are just not talking. As Swami said, your meter is on, volume is down. The volume should be down, the meter also should be off. Sometimes we do these little spiritual practices and we feel we are more evolved than the others. What we don't realize is that these are simple things we have to do so that we are humans and we are not branded as animals. In fact, in Prashanti Vahini, Swami says, Maunam Bhajaswa, practice silence. And that is not simply keeping the mouth shut. Swami says it means getting beyond the influence of all the senses and getting established always in the consciousness of one's own reality. To be established in the consciousness of one's own reality. That is what is Maunam. Perpetual bliss or perpetual peace. And that happens only when the mind withdraws from the external world. Only when the mind withdraws from the external world and the tongue also becomes silent. Mano Maunam and Vak Maunam. Only when these two happen, then only the senses will become quiet and we can move towards genuine silence. Swami says this stage cannot be described in words. You cannot describe the bliss of that silence. Because it is only the realm of experience. You cannot express that silence in words. That Maunam means the form of the Absolute Supreme. That silence is nothing but the form of the Absolute Supreme. Swami says the one who has reached that, that person will be in highest peace and highest bliss. If the activities of the intelligence are stilled, and if the intelligence is harbored in Brahman, if the intelligence is just fixed on Brahman, because all of the activities of the intelligence are completely calm, that is how you will become suffused with Brahman. Whatever happens in the world, you will just observe this world as if you're observing from afar with a disinterested attitude. The world, Swami says, can be overcome only in this way. You have to get disinterested. You just become a witness. Then you can escape the wiles of the intellect. The intellect which breeds doubts and delusions and dualistic diversions, Swami says. The intellect which becomes the impediment for us from realizing the atmic reality. As Swami says, the intellect should be cleaned of the rust of sensory world and made to shine in its own pristine effulgence. The intelligence should not be wavering, should not be agitated. Only when the intelligence is too activated, that's when the world appears as manifold. But when the intellect is tranquil, there is peace. And then you are immersed in tejas, Swami says. Then you are immersed in splendor. You are in continual bliss. Swami says, this is the stage that is called as Nirvikalpa Maunam. The stage where there is absolute quietness, agitationless silence, silence without mental ideation. The silence that Ramana Maharshi used to be in. The silence that you experienced when you just sat in front of Him. The silence that sometimes you experience when you are there with Bhagwan. You are in the interview room with Swami. Swami is also sitting there, but Swami is just quiet, he's still, no movement. And Swami would be there in that pose sometimes for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour. Swami would just be still, and looking at Him, you just become still. All the senses just forget their nature. Imagine if the snake forgets its curved path. Snakes forget that it can move in a curved manner, in a curvy way. That's what happens to the senses when they are in the presence. Only when we are in that stage can we experience our own reality, Bhagwan says. Many aspirants, by their disciplined lives and their ceaseless effort, they were able to establish themselves, Swami says, in the knowledge of their own reality. That will happen only when we keep minds away from the objective world, withdraw from all attachment to the sensory world. Then one will be saturated in bliss. And know that there is only one without a second. There is no other. There is no another. And that is the reality. That is the atmic consciousness that one has to experience. Swami says the ancient sages like Sukha, Sanaka, Sanananda, all of them, they were in this bliss. Incomparable peace. No doubts, no affliction, no distraction. No further thought, no inquiry also. They were not bothered by any change or modification because the Atma cannot undergo any modification. The Atma is complete. Once people have experienced this sweetness, Swami says they will never give ear to anything of the world. They will not be bothered with any distracting thoughts, disturbing arguments, diversionary attachments. They will hold steadfastly to their convictions. But the Bhakta asked Swami, "So you are saying all these people who just do not talk and keep their mouth quiet is not enough, and that is not what is maunam. Is that effort unnecessary?" And that's when Bhagwan says, "No, it is not unnecessary. As I said before, it has so many benefits." Then the Bhakta asks, "Swami, then is all this unnecessary for the complete jnani, for someone who is a jnani, the wise one, is all these unnecessary?" That's when Swami says, "There is no complete jnani in the world. There is no one who is a complete jnani in the world. In fact, the one who is a complete jnani, complete self-realized person, he has no need of the world only." Then the Bhakta asks, "Swami, if there is no complete jnani in the world, then why are all these people called jnanis? Who are those people who can be called jnanis?" Swami says the term jnani is applied by courtesy to so many people. A complete jnani is not there in the world. A true jnani is that person who just knows and lives and breathes in that principle that everything is one. All is one. The current modern jnanis, they are all experts in logic. They can argue. They are experts in different forms of knowledge. That's all. They have not known the reality. Swami gave the example of Buddha during summer course 2002. And Swami said, Buddha observed Maunam and he became very quiet. And because Buddha became quiet, Mano Maunam, Vak Maunam and Mano Maunam, Swami says, Buddha moved from Soham, Maunam, to Soham. He began to experience Soham within. Soham is that principle where you feel oneness with the universal oneness. So hum, I am that, Swami used to say. So hum, I am that. Buddha could reach that stage because he practiced Maunam. Genuine Maunam. Swami says, you should chant the names of God to achieve this steadiness. But once you achieve that steadiness, you don't need to chant. Then you're just silent. And that silence is everything. But the steps towards this ultimate silence is to speak less. Yes, as Swami should tell the students, talk less, have less contacts. Once words become less, then the vagaries of the mind also become less. If the words are more, mind is more active. The best way to reduce the power of the mind is to become quiet. Swami says, it is difficult. It is easier said than done. Because man may die, but the mind does not die. Mind is very powerful. Mind will vanish only when words vanish. And practicing silence is one of the ways of quietening the mind. Swami says, that's the reason why our ancients practiced Maunam. We cannot allow the mind to go wherever it likes and do whatever it likes. We cannot allow the mind to ridicule, hurt and hate others. Swami says, if you hurt anyone, you will be hurt 10 times more. The sin that you commit today will bring retribution to you later on, amplified, manifold. In fact, in the same discourse, summer course 2002, Swami says, if God is present everywhere, people ask, why are we not able to see Him? The ocean water reflects the sun above. But when the water is disturbed, then the reflection of the sun also is disturbed, isn't it? Swami says, similarly, only when the water is calm can you see the reflection of the sun. God also is in every man. But man is not able to see God because of the mind which is very disturbed. A disturbed and vacillating mind can never reflect God. And this disturbed mind causes confusion. It causes depression. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, Chanchalam hi mana, Krishna pramati. Pramati balavadrudam. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati balavadrudam means this mind is very unsteady, turbulent, is agitated strongly. The mind is highly fickle, vacillating, very difficult. In fact, all the sadhana that we are doing is only to quieten the mind. And that's why Swami is telling, whatever you do, japa, dhyana, yoga, if it is not leading to quietening the mind, then all that is of little use. Only when we quieten the mind within can we experience God, can we see the reflection of God within, can we feel Him in us, below us, above us, around us. And this is what Swami says. Only when that quietening of mind happens, when there is, to begin with, Vak Maunam, start with reducing the talk and slowly reducing the chatter in the mind. Swami says only when that happens, automatically that will lead to less desires, more peace, more bliss, and we will be in this journey of Maunam to Soham. In fact, when we sing this bhajan, Soham, Soham, Dhyana Karo, that is such a lovely bhajan. But if we can really quieten our minds and focus it completely only on the Lord, then at least for those few minutes, we would have practiced genuine Mano Maunam. And it is these moments which have to be multiplied for us to get more and more peace in our lives.
Soham, soham, dhyan karo.
Soham, soham, dhyan karo.
So dear listeners, that is what Bhagwan has given us in this segment 10.3 of Sandhya Nivarani. Bhagwan goes on further in this segment and Swami tells us what is Videha Mukti and what is the hallmark of a Jnani, what is the chief nature of a truly wise person and how we can strive to acquire that mukti. This chapter, Bhagwan has taken us a little deeper into the spiritual practices, but constantly he is asking us to do that inquiry. And constantly, Bhagwan is leading us to the Advaitic vision. If we see all of Bhagwan's teachings, Bhagwan would always want us to reach that stage of oneness. And through different ways and means, Bhagwan is goading us to move towards that stage, because that is the ultimate goal, and only when we have that kind of perspective can we find a lot of peace in ourselves and also be able to create a world where there is less hate, there is more love, more kindness, and less division. So we'll continue this in the coming episode of Vahini Satsang. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also write to listener@sssmediacenter.org. That's our new email ID. Both mean the same, but after we rechristened this institution by Bhagwan's grace to Sri Satisai Media Center, we have this new email ID, listener@sssmediacenter.org. You can also send us your feedback on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet in all humility, I take a leave and pray to Bhagwan that He guides us on this journey of not just listening, understanding, but having the strength, the patience, and the determination to walk on this path to make Him happy. Thank you so much. Sairam.